I feel like I've spent my entire life as a Leaf fan asking myself this question. Is this team cursed? Is there some sort of hex on this team? Some sort of spell that we're not aware of that prevents us, the fans, from having nice things?
What, like the last year that's on that banner?
Well before...
that ancient year, yeah. That I'm not even close to in age.
And neither am I.
That is older than like the gap between where I was born and where we are now. It's like not even close. It's starting to get a little, it's amazing how fast things can turn in this market.
I'm watching the Ottawa game and all I could think the entire time was, why is this happening? Like, why is this happening? Like, it was the perfect, like, granted, it was a back-to-back and they flew in day of and all that. I'm not trying to say that, like, discredit that in any way. But, like, I'm sitting there and I'm going, like, why? Why?
Well, what's the stance do we want to take on this?
That's what I want to ask you. So they've lost 5 of 6.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, they're clear. They're like 8 or 9 points clear in the division. And your favorite narrative is being spun by the Toronto sports media that, oh, well, they have no competition. They can sleep their way to the Eastern Conference final. And yeah. You, the entire time, to your credit, was like, that is bullshit.
Oh, it's the worst narrative of all time. 2 weeks ago, the Leafs were going to the Eastern Conference Final and we're going to lose because they didn't have enough competition. And it's now the complete opposite. It's like, can we beat the Winnipeg Jets in a playoff series? Yeah. That's how fast things can turn in this market. And it's everything's reactionary, right? It's just like, what's happened in the last week? They've lost 5 out of 6. The game they won, they barely won.
Yeah.
Even though that was a phenomenal hockey game, but it's amazing how fast fans can change their mind and opinion. And at the beginning of the year, this is what I was kind of expecting, right? I wasn't expecting them to go on a tear so early and look so good. I was expecting dips like this in times where we would be in doubt of how this team would perform and how they would finish in the standings. And I feel like if I took a broader view, I'd be like, you know what? This isn't too surprising. This is where I thought they were going to be. But after looking so good and things like the defensive play improving and the system improving, getting tighter, the defense looking better, less giveaways, smoother breakouts, you started to feel a little bit better. And all they've done for the past 6 games
since leaving Edmonton.
All they've done is give the puck away and get loose defensively all over again.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. It's just their tight system has gone to shit and now they're back giving away the puck in their own end, in the neutral zone, and even in the O zone.
And the PK. PK's a disaster.
Yeah, it's gone. Everything defensively has just gone down the drain.
Yeah.
PK, 5-on-5, everything.
Austin Matthews not being 100%.
Yes, yeah. And that was another thing. Marner and Matthews were dominating, like the best line in hockey. And that's kind of gone away, too. Yeah. Not that they were going to keep up that pace, because maybe that's not where they're at. They're not Connor McDavid. They're not getting 50 points in however many games, but they were an absolute dominant line, and now they've kind of also, they're still good, they're still great, but they're not as dominant as they were, and that was kind of maybe masking some of the things that we're seeing now.
How do you fix those things? Like, how do you fix the little mistakes in the defensive zone? How do you fix a struggling PK? Like, is it just a matter of repetition in practice? Is it, like, watching film? Is it, like, because, like, to me, I ask that question because it's inexplicable to me how you can go from dominating the Edmonton Oilers for three straight games, dominating to, like, now all of a sudden you're making mental error after mental error. One of the goals last night, the first goal that went in on Freddie Anderson last night, Jake Muzzin throws an absolute pizza up the middle of the ice while they're on the penalty kill. They can't clear it out. They get running around. It's in the back of the net.
Yeah. I honestly, man, that's a million-dollar question. Like, watching film, repetition, having the hockey IQ in a game to make the right decision. How many times over the last couple of years, not even years, decades, have we been trying to figure out the penalty kill or defensive zone issues? Like, I don't know what the answer is, man.
And we spent like the first few weeks of this season being like, wow, look at them. They're playing really, really well defensively.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't know. Like, it's something that just, I'm not a professional hockey player. I've never been an NHL coach. How do you get a bunch of dudes in their 20s and 30s and 40s to start getting back to the system that made them successful early in the season? I don't know. I don't know what they have to do.
How worried are you?
I'm just at a loss for, like, I get caught up in being a rational hockey fan, being like, this league's tough. You've heard us say this before. It's a tough league. You can lose to the worst team on a night. That's just the way it is. It's not like basketball where usually the top teams like dominate and beat other teams on a nightly basis. I don't know if I'm worried. I think I'm getting brought back to reality.
Yeah, yes.
I think you're just getting brought back to reality, being like, this team wasn't that good. They can be that good, but can they be that good consistently when it matters? I don't know. That's the million-dollar question.
So here's my opinion on it. Overall, I'm not really worried about them as a team. I believe they are the best team in this division. I truly believe that. How important is winning the division? I mean, you'd like it. It guarantees you home ice advantage in the first two rounds, but is it really that important when you feel that they're the best team? No, it's really not.
No.
So if they end up coming in second or third, fine, whatever. I'm not gonna, that's not a deal breaker for me. So overall, I'm not really worried about them as a team. There are certain things within the team that I am very worried about. And the main topic of discussion, and you know, anyone who's tuning into this knew that this topic was going to come up today. And Freddie Anderson. The narrative and the feeling around Freddie Anderson has been almost Nylander-esque lately. If you're on, like, if you follow the Leafs on social, whether that be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, you've got the segment of the fan base that is like, this guy stinks. Like, he sucks. It's over. He had his years. He can't win. He can't make a save. He can't whatever. You've got the other section of the fan base who is, it's not his fault. He's a good goalie. They're a disaster in front of him. Like I mentioned last night, like, what's he supposed to do last night when Jake Muzzin literally throws it up the middle of his own zone and gives it back to the Senators? So you have these two sides battling. And here's my take on it. Is Frederik Andersen a terrible goaltender? No, he's not. Is it all his fault? No, it's not. But at this point in time, do you think that you can go? So the expectations for this team are Eastern Conference Final or bust, period. I'm sorry. I know they've been struggling a lot lately, but in my opinion, those are the expectations. Anything short of getting to the Eastern Conference Final, aka out of this division, is a failure.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Do you think he can get you there? Because I don't think he can. I don't have faith that he can get you there, that he can make the save in every playoff game to get you there.
The only time will tell. I mean, there's no looking past that his individual stats for this season is lower than it normally is. It's below average. So you got to look at that. And you also have to look at the fact that their defensive play has gone to shit the past six games. So it's like where we are every week when we come on here. It's like, it's not here. It's not there. It's somewhere right here. I think that he could be better if the Leafs clean up their turnovers, but also he needs to stop getting sniped on top corner. Like, simple as that. Like, it's
you said that last week when he came up in conversation, and I love the way you put that because it's absolutely true. He gets sniped on.
Yeah, he literally looks like, it's like when you're in practice and you're just fooling around and you just like score an unreal goal and you just snipe top corner. It happens once a game. You get sniped on top corner. And I get that players could shoot the puck in this league. There's no doubt. These guys didn't get here without knowing how to put the puck in the net, especially the guys who make the big cheese scoring all the Genos.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's getting a little ridiculous watching a guy go glove side top shelf on him at least once a game. At least once a game. I mean, but you got to give him some credit. It's like, or not give him some credit, cut him some slack and be like, when you're coming down on a two on, if you're getting 4 2-on-1s against you a game, they're going to convert on at least one of them.
Yeah.
If they're two skilled players coming down on you, players are too good in this league to not convert that. And it's like,
especially against a team like Winnipeg who has those like really,
who
talented
has depth,
yeah.
who are like the Leafs in a lot of way that have some depth in their lineup, scoring depth. And it's like, if you give up odd man rush after odd man rush, unless you're Vasilevsky, who's playing out of his mind right now, they're going to score. Like, they're going to score. So it's stop getting sniped on, but stop giving up 2-on-1s at least 4 times a game.
One of the themes in today's episode is going to be two things can be true. And that's a perfect example of it. It's, we need you to make the saves. However, we do acknowledge that, yes, they give up a lot of 2-on-1s. There were a few instances in that Winnipeg series where those were backbreakers, man. Like, where it was like, they're coming back, they're battling back. Because listen, the Leafs, let's call a spade a spade. The Leafs are front runners. Like, if they can come out early and pot one or two against you, they're good. They love playing with the lead. That's how they want to play. When they fall behind, like in the Ottawa game, Michael Hutchinson comes in, and before you even realize what's going on, they're down 2-0. Like, that's, they're not built to play from behind like that. Like, they need to get a lead early and they need to hold on to it. And that's when they're at their best. And there were a few moments in the Winnipeg series there where I thought they battled and then the Jets would go down. Like, I think it was the first game where they came back and made it like 3-2 or whatever. And then whoever it was on the Jets goes down and Deeks like blows around Freddie and just tucks it by him.
Yeah.
You remember the play I'm talking about? Yeah. I wish I remember who it was on the Jets that scored the goal, but like, that's the type of stuff that is like a backbreaker. And that's the type of stuff that when you're watching, you're just like, you can't do this when we get in game six.
Yeah.
When we're in game six and we're up 3-2 or we're battling to like force a game seven, you cannot let in a goal like that. And I heard a great quote on the radio today from Chris Versteeg that said, your goalie doesn't need to make every save. He just needs to make the ones that matter. And that is where Freddie is struggling right now.
And it's a tough thing to quantify too, because it's like, you don't know what the right save is until the game is over. And you're like, he should have made that save. That's a game saving save. You know, it's just, it's all leading towards a series in the playoffs. Yeah. You know, it's like at the end of the day, it's like what happened 2 weeks ago. They don't have enough competition. They're dominating teams to now losing 5 of 6. Now they go into their next series. They went 4 straight. And then it's like, oh, everything's great. It's just, it's weeding out the things throughout the season to like apply to the playoff series.
Yeah.
Like what you said earlier, where they finish in the standings, obviously you want to get the number one seed. You want to get home ice, even though without fans, I don't know how much that means.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're going to have to beat, like, maybe you play Montreal instead of Edmonton or whatever, but you're going to have to beat the best teams in this division to get to that Eastern Conference final. So it's like, you're going to have your ups and downs in the season. Wherever you finish, you finish. It's just everything that's happening in these last couple games, we're taking and we're trying to apply to a playoff series. Like, the breakouts have just been so sloppy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been brutal. But they've also have gotten a lot of chances in the ozone. They're just not as they're not converting as much as they have earlier in the season.
So listen, out of these games that they've lost, like, I thought both games in Vancouver they played pretty well. I thought the first two games, they played against the Winnipeg Jets, they played pretty well. And then I thought the second game against Winnipeg and then the game against Ottawa, they were terrible. And so it's the inconsistency thing that's really deflating. So they've got two games in 12 days. If Jack Campbell is healthy, and your point about him being a Band-Aid is well made.
It's driving me nuts.
If Jack Campbell is healthy, I think you send him in there. Like I think you're at a point where it's like, I think the competition at this point would be good for Freddie.
Yeah.
And I think you send him in there and you see, like, if you can go in there and you can play and you can make the saves, like I'm talking about, like the saves that matter, like that's what we need.
Yeah. Well, he's been great ever since, every time he's laced it up to go in the net, ever since he got here, he's been great. It's just like, you come back, you play a great game, now you're back on the shelf, and it's like, maybe I'm not paying attention to the injured reserve list enough, but it's like, what is he doing right now?
Well, they've been pretty cryptic about what the issue with the injury is.
Like, where is he?
He's gone again.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, when is he coming back?
He clearly had a groin that didn't heal. They haven't confirmed this, but if I had to make an educated guess based on everything that's happened, he clearly had a groin that wasn't all the way healed.
Yeah.
Came back and got hurt in the one game against Edmonton and has like re-injured himself.
Yeah, and he's back on the shelf again.
Which is like a sort of a controversial topic with the Leafs right now, because like there's a lot of people, myself included, who are like, Auston Matthews is clearly not 100%. He can't shoot the puck. You've moved him to the front of the net position on the power play. He shouldn't be playing. Playing.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, screw the standings, okay? Yeah, like I think they're at a point now where they're going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
I mean, anything could happen, but yeah. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And it's like, if you need to rest this guy a week,
yeah.
I mean, now they're kind of in a position where they have days off. So it's like, it's going to help them. But if the guy's not shooting the puck like he shoots it and not playing like the player who's leading the league and scoring still after coming back and kind of not looking like the same person, then it's like, get this guy some recovery time.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
That's absolutely
like, that's another thing too. It's like, he's not as dominant as he was. At one point, we said on this podcast, can you even imagine Auston Matthews not getting a million chances to score a game and him not scoring? At one point, it looks like he was going to score every game for the rest of the season, and people were throwing around 50 goals.
Yeah, well, and that's probably why he's still playing, because he's chasing those accolades and the Hart Trophy.
Dumb thinking. I have a hard time believing that the Maple Leafs sports science department would let that happen. You know, it's just like, this guy shouldn't be playing if he's chasing goals. He should be sitting in the press box recovering for the most important time of the year where everything is on the line.
Yes.
Everything is on the line.
So I said earlier that like there's two things that I'm like concerned about right now with the Leafs, and Freddie Anderson is the first one. The second one, I said earlier that the theme of today's episode is two things can be true. I personally have been really hesitant to criticize the John Tavares contract on this podcast, because I've said a bunch of times, if I was Kyle Dubas 2 summers ago, 3 summers ago, whatever it was, I would have done the exact same thing, and you would have done the exact same thing, and you would have done the exact same thing.
Hey, so, don't count out Leaf fans for looking at you being like, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah. Look at his Corsi numbers.
So I'm not gonna sit here and say like, wow, that was a huge mistake. But you know what, Ryan? Two things can be true. The way he's playing right now, it's a brutal contract. It's their worst contract. And like, I don't know. I'm honestly at a loss for words. You and I, one of our favorite sayings is just a guy. John Tavares is the epitome of just a guy right now. He is a non-factor night in and night out. And I understand that he's in his 30s. And you're a senior citizen in the National Hockey League when you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I get that he's never been the fastest skater. No. And I get like I get all of that. But for $11 million, it's not good enough.
No.
And it hasn't been good enough all year. And I don't know. It's to me, it's like I sit and I watch last night in particular, the Senators game. I'm sitting there and I'm going, where is John Tavares? Like, where is he? Like, what's he doing? He's out there. He's floating around. Even when he's out there and like, sure, he's got quite a few power play goals this season. But even then, when he's out there on the power play, it doesn't stand out. Like, if he gets one, it's because he's out front of the net banging one in, which is like, good. That's what you should be doing. But my point is I'm sorry. I'm at the point where like, he's the worst contract on the team. And if I'm like, you want to hear my super, super overreaction take, like next level overreaction, like you're way ahead of yourself, settle down take.
I think I might know what you're going to say.
If this season doesn't go well and they got to blow up the core, he's the one that you want to get rid of, but you can't get rid of him because no one is going to take him at that. And like, let's just say you want to trade him. Okay. Every team is going to say, okay, you got to keep some of that. How much are you keeping? $5 million?
Yeah.
$6 million? Like, yeah. How much of that are you keeping? Right. So it's like, and I think we always knew when he signed his deal that in the later years of the deal, you weren't going to get the best return on your investment. And we all understood that, but it's like, he comes here in the first year, he has a career season and we're all like, this is incredible. This is exactly what we wanted. Matthews, Tavares, 1-2 punch. Last year, bit of a, like, it's more of a down year for him. Okay, he's getting a little older. He's not playing with Mitch Marner. Marner's up with Matthews now. That's going to affect his production.
Yeah.
But you know what? Still the captain. Still a pretty damn good second-line center option.
Yeah.
This year, he's terrible. He's terrible.
He's not terrible.
He's terrible.
I don't know if he's terrible.
He's terrible.
It's, I do believe that it's one of the worst contracts in the NHL.
Yeah.
Not because of the guy or the player. It's just like how it just completely sabotages your salary cap.
Yeah.
And the amount of, you can get two very serviceable hockey players for the price that he's at for one guy.
You could get two Zach Hymans for,
I know. It's just, yeah. At the end of the day, he's been a point of game player for the Maple Leafs since he's gotten here. And I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of bad contracts in the NHL. This isn't the only one, but like, this is the only one that's on like a large scale, like double digits bad contract. And I just think it's the expectations. Like, he's not living up to the expectations of a guy who's getting paid that much money.
And it's super under the microscope right now when Matthews is hurt and he can't produce and play the way he's capable of. And that is a perfect scenario where you need your second line centerman to like step up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's not doing it. And I don't want to hear, can I be honest? Like, I don't want to hear that. Oh, well, you know, he's not playing with Marner. I think William Nylander has been pretty damn good. Like, I think he's been pretty damn good since the Edmonton
scoring goals.
Yeah.
He's been
pretty
goals.
Damn good. And the only two Leafs that were worth anything in the Ottawa game were Zach Hyman and William Nylander. Everyone else just took the night off.
I just think Tavares, he's got good awareness on the ice for his position. I don't think he's a guy where you're like, I want to move him to the wing. Like, he can still play center, but he's just never. You look at all these amazing players in the NHL. Like, Matthews can do it, McKinnon can do it, even Marchand can do it, and it's the ability to like make a wow play to change a hockey game, and he just doesn't have that ability. He's always been kind of slow on his feet. He's got good hands. He can score the puck down low. But in terms of a guy who's making the amount of money that he is, he can't change a hockey game. And I think you're just going to increasingly get frustrated because you're always going to want more out of him, but he's never going to give it to you.
Which is fine, but not for $11 million.
No, it's not. It's not fine. I agree. It's not fine. I think people in the island who are fans of that team would be the first ones to like be like, I told you so. Like, he wasn't worth the money. Like, he was never that good. He only had 80 some odd points in his best year here. He was the first overall pick. He's supposed to be the savior. He comes over here. He's a great first year. And then after that, it's like, At the end of the day, he's a second line center in the NHL right now. And some nights he looks like a third line center.
Yeah.
And it's just, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what do you do? And I don't want to be like, get rid of Tavares. He sucks. That's not what I'm saying. It's just when you sign a guy to a big contract and he doesn't perform to that level, what is the solution? What do you do?
There's nothing you can do.
Like, I don't know what you can do. No. You just got to pray that he gets on a heater and starts getting more points.
Yeah.
I mean, his stats aren't that bad. Like, he hasn't been horrible. It's just like,
he's not for the money he's being paid. He's not effective night in and night out. And when they're in a rut like this, and like I said, to me, the thing that makes it stand out the most is Matthews is not 100%. He's not able to play the way he is capable of playing. And that is when you need your other superstar center to kind of pick up the slack a little bit. And he's not doing that. And like I said, I don't want to hear that it's because he's not playing with Mitch Marner, because I think William Nylander has been pretty damn good for the last like 2 weeks. And they've put Thornton on the line with him, and Thornton's been pretty damn good so far this season. And guess what? When he's healthy, Wayne Simmonds is probably going to go on that other line, which is like any day now, we're going to get an announcement that Wayne Simmonds is back.
Yeah.
Thank God. So like, I don't know. Like, I don't mean to dump on Johnny. I love Johnny. I love that he came here. I love that they made him the captain. Like, I love all of it, but it's just like, dude, like, we need you to be better than this if we're going to go where we want to be. I can't, folks. I can't take it. I cannot take another first round playoff exit.
That would be
I'm going to go around this podcast studio, and I'm going to have a spaz, and I'm going to rip all this stuff off the wall, and I'm going to go insane.
What about that shirt you're wearing?
I'm going to rip my brand new reverse retro t-shirt. Everyone gives, you know what? Like,
people don't like it.
Listen, I'll admit the uni itself is a bit questionable. Like, the uni's not the
biggest.
Hey,
we're on record being like, we like it.
This is a good logo. Yeah. I saw this the other day and I was like, I'm going to buy that. Anyways, so lastly, before we get out of here, lots of speculation that if Dubas is going to make a move, he's going to pull the trigger this week because they've got two games in 12 days in quarantine and all that kind of stuff. It was Elliot Friedman that kind of put that out there as like a possibility. If they're going to, first of all, what do you think they need? And who's a free agent option that you've heard out there that you think makes sense?
My hot take is I don't think they need another forward. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you get another forward, what do you do? Like, what do you do with that forward?
Well, you gotta
you're looking
another forward's gotta go out if you're gonna trade somebody. So and the name that you keep seeing bandied about is going out the door is Kerfoot.
I know, but I've looked at the names and it's like you get Granlund and it's like the flyer on Taylor Hall. It's like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's never gonna happen. Yeah. I would be going all in on Ekholm for Nashville. I know he's gonna be a hot commodity. I would always, especially with this hockey team, look towards adding on the blue line. Yeah. You replace Alex Kerfoot. I just don't believe in deadline acquisitions. I'd say for every 10 acquisition at the deadline, maybe one guy pans out for a big difference maker on a hockey team.
How do you feel about one of the names that I keep hearing out there that I think is actually kind of interesting for offensive depth and like leadership is Eric Staal?
Yeah, like, but again, it's like you bring Eric Staal in. Is Eric Staal better than Alex Kerfoot? I don't know.
No,
probably not.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not. It's just a guy, another veteran who's hungry to win another Stanley Cup because he only had one early in his career.
And who's a name.
And who's a name that people kind of know, and a guy who's very familiar with the center position, and people will be kind of like, oh, it's Eric Staal. But it's like, if you really compare Kerfoot to Staal, it's like, I don't think there's a big difference there.
No,
I think maybe it's another veteran guy you plug into your locker room that makes the team hungrier to do something in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do inside the locker room. We've played it up on this podcast. I think it's important, but I think at a certain point, it's about on the ice.
Yeah.
And I just don't think adding some Jamoke who's just going to fill out another roster spot is going to make a big difference. If you're going to add to the blue line,
yeah.
I don't think for a team that get they still get offensive chances. Like, I don't think they've just been like hemmed in their own zone, dominated. They're not getting dominated. They're not getting hemmed in. They're giving up bad odd man rushes and they're giving up bad defensive opportunities. Yeah. And they still get their chances in the offensive zone. It's about anything you can do to make this team better defensively. That's what I'm in for.
Yeah.
I'm not in for adding a goal. What do we talk about all the time? How good offensively this team is and how they're not good enough defensively. Why are we trying to add another guy who could score goals? It's stupid.
Well, that's...
It's dumb.
Yeah, that's...
And bolster your blue line if you have to. Like, to me, that is it. I like Justin Hall. Would I like to see Justin Hall knock down a peg? Yes, yeah. I do.
Well, that will, like, in turn... This is we don't have time to get into this right now, but, like, that will in turn knock your boy Travis Dermott right up into the press box.
And if that has... And like, I like Dermott, but if that has to be done, then that has to be done. I don't see going... I think it's pointless to go out and get another mediocre forward. Alex Kerfoot for another Alex Kerfoot. It's stupid.
I'm glad. I'm glad that you shut down the Taylor Hall one, because a lot of people are stuck on that, and it's like, all the reasons you outlined are true, but also it's like Kyle Dubas has never shown any interest in going like the rental route. So it's like, why all of a sudden? And I get it. People are like, well, it's your chance to win this year. This is, you got to go all in. But I agree, and that's why I think your point is well made, where, like, sure, if you want to go all in and try and win a cup, bolster your blue line, but I'm 100% with you. Like, Taylor Hall is not the way to go.
No, it's not, and it's just, I know he had that one Hart Trophy season with the Devils, that's phenomenal, but it's, to me, getting Taylor Hall right now is like getting Kasperi Kapanen back. Yeah. Like, that's a hot take. People might call me an idiot. I don't care. I think it's a dumb move. I think getting any useless forward's a dumb move. If you're going to make a big move, get another defenseman.
Yep.
Simple as that. That's my opinion.
And on that, we will wrap up this week's episode. If you like what you see and you're checking us out for the first time, head on over to our Instagram at Talkin' Buds Podcast. That is where we hang out exclusively on social media. Also, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave a thumbs up, leave any comment, leave a cheers, do whatever. It's a massive, massive help. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. We'll see you next week.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent, almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Let's go to the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality. Theme-based with special guests, the Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.